Okay, we will take a 15-minute recess.
So yes.
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 Back on the record.
Being dry, drink coffee, and text on the phone, same time we come back. Special training.
12:27, we're back on the record, all members of the board who were here prior to our luncheon break are still here. And we will call the next case in order, case number 8, 22-023.
That's you.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sergeant, can you identify yourself for the record again, spelling your last name and indicating the agency you're representing here today?
Sergeant Elias Martz, M-A-R-T-Z, with the Middletown Police Department.
Hey Sergeant, you're entitled to a brief opening statement if you would like.
In this case, the background investigation revealed that the appellant, on four occasions, was the subject of police emergency examination requests. These were the result of alcohol issues, depression, and suicidal ideation. On March 30th of 2016, the appellant was located intoxicated in a vehicle and had been there for a number of hours. Family members stated that there were psychological and drinking issues. On March 31st of 2016, the appellant was again located in their vehicle and was suffering from depression issues. On May 27th of 2016, the appellant was located in a vehicle and stated that they wanted to die and had many ways to kill themselves. And then in February of 2017, the appellant was located by police in an intoxicated state and mentioned multiple times they wanted to kill themselves by jumping off of the Aragone Bridge. In all these instances, the appellant was hospitalized. Based upon a history of needing to be sent on police emergency examination requests, as well as a history of alcohol issues and depression. And in two of these incidents, police documented that the appellant directly told officers that they wanted to die or be killed. The appellant was deemed not a suitable candidate for a pistol permit.
Thank you, Sergeant. Ma'am, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yeah, these incidents were in the past, and back then, I wouldn't say I was depressed. I was very low in a bad place. And I did not know how to cope with it, so I self-medicated, breaking up with my fiance after 10 years, which was a toxic relationship because I just got this report yesterday morning. I just sift through it to see all the incidents that I fall on this person, but I thank God that I am out of that situation. But I know back then, and the alcohol was talking because I love me. I would never want to kill myself, ever. So I'm here to let you know that I've overcome this drinking problem. I've been to AA, and I haven't had a drink, and I developed in 2017, that's when everything stopped. I developed MS that year, and I haven't had a drink since. And I've been single because I choose to not get into another toxic relationship. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Sergeant, you may proceed.
The investigation conducted by the background investigator, in this case, as I stated, revealed the cases. It revealed an extensive number of police contacts for this appellant. Summary of them is as follows. There, 2011, police responded to the report of a domestic. It was a verbal domestic between the appellant and a male party. That was case number 11-27523, so that's November of 2011. May of 2012, they responded to the same address for a disturbance. In this case, the appellant was interviewed but was not necessarily involved in the altercation. In December of 2012, they responded to the same address for a disturbance. In this case, there was a male arrested. The appellant was a victim. March of 2013, police again responded to the same address for a report of a domestic disturbance. There was a verbal domestic disturbance between the appellant and a male party. September of 2013, police responded to a domestic incident, which was determined to be verbal in nature between the appellant and a male party. In October of 2013, police responded to the same address for a domestic between male party and his son. In this case, the appellant did not have direct involvement. December of 2013, police responded to the same address for a report of a domestic, which was verbal in nature between the appellant and a male party. August of 2014, police responded to the same address for a report of a domestic, which was verbal in nature between the appellant and a male party. December of 2014, police responded again to the same address for a report of a disturbance. Officers met with the appellant and a male party, reported as being the boyfriend. They were involved in the disturbance, which was reported as being verbal in nature. April of 2015, police responded to the same address for a police assist, which was determined to be a verbal domestic dispute between the appellant and a male party, reported as being her husband. August of 2015, police again responded to the same address for a reported domestic dispute. They met with the appellant, later spoke to the male party who was involved, and it was determined to be verbal in nature. Then in March of 2016, moved to the previously mentioned incidents. Police responded to an address in Arnold Street for an intoxicated person complaint. They arrived and located the appellant seated in her vehicle while extremely intoxicated. It was reported she had been there for 6 hours while the temperature outside was only 27 degrees. Family member on scene informed that she had psychological issues and was a heavy drinker. Police emergency examination request was completed and she was transported to Middlesex Hospital. Following day, March 31st of 2016, police responded to the parking lot of the Dollar Tree for a police medical. Officers arrived. The appellant was the sole occupant of a running vehicle. She was fairly intoxicated and depressed as a result. Police emergency examination request was completed and she was transported to the hospital. May 27th of 2016, police responded to 36 Arnold Street for a suicide-threatening complaint. When officers arrived, the appellant was located in the front seat of a vehicle, appeared to be under the influence of an intoxicating liquor. Empty wine bottles were strewn throughout the vehicle. She informed officers that she wanted to die. They further informed she had many ways she could kill herself as a result of such statements in intoxicated state. Police emergency examination request was completed and she was transported to the hospital. Later that day, she was reported missing. It was determined that she was at the hospital at that time. February 23rd of 2017, police responded to Harbor Park for suspicious activity. Officers met with the appellant, who was noticeably intoxicated, and she informed that her friend had taken her car keys and left the area. She was uncooperative with officers, verbally aggressive to Officer Foss Rugen. After the appellant was provided transportation to her residence, she mentioned multiple times she wanted to jump off the bridge as a result of such statements. Police emergency examination request was completed. She was transported to the hospital for treatment. So the investigation revealed that numerous incidents of police involvement, domestic in nature, as well as related to alcohol and mental health, were determined. The investigating officer did meet with the appellant to discuss these issues. Investigating officer documented the following. On Wednesday, March 3rd of 2021, he met with the appellant at her residence to discuss the above cases of concern. She was advised she was not required to disclose any information, but she stated she wished to document such concerns. The appellant stated that she was a recovering alcoholic and had been sober for approximately 4 years. She informed that she doesn't ever recall making comments about wanting to harm herself, and that such comments were related to her consuming alcoholic beverages, and that she would never cause harm to herself, and that she loves herself. Appellant stated that on the occasion she was treated at Middlesex Hospital, she was discharged soon after and was not required to seek further medical treatment or take any prescription medications. The investigating officer inquired if she had any documents, such as discharge papers, from the hospital in regard to such visits. She stated she did not have any such documents. The appellant stated that she was able to stop consuming alcoholic beverages on her own with the assistance of Alcoholic Anonymous. The appellant stated she had attended those meetings regularly until they stopped having them as a result of COVID-19, and that at no time was she referred to or attended any formal alcoholic recovery treatment program. She stated the domestic disputes were with her former boyfriend, with whom she no longer has any form of involvement. And they were also related to the consumption of alcoholic beverages. There was also a case which occurred in 2002 on Portland Street in Middletown. In regards to this, she stated that she was a passenger in a car with a former boyfriend with whom she no longer associates, and the boyfriend, quote, poked a guy with a pocket knife after he had come after him. This was a stabbing incident, and she recalled the former boyfriend being arrested and serving time, but she was not arrested in that. That was, I believe, a stabbing case. I'm not sure if I have that in my documentation. Afford me a minute to look. I don't believe I have a copy of that, but that was a stabbing case. There was an article found by the investigating officer from the Middletown Press, which was included in the packet. City man stabbed allegedly trying to break up fight. Says Vera Fields, Rogala's ex-wife, told the press that Rogala and the appellant attempted to run over Fields' current boyfriend, who was also the appellant's cousin. Not sure of the accuracy of that. It is a Middletown Press article. But that case was in 2002. Based upon the totality of all of these incidents and multiple involvements, as well as general knowledge that mental health issues and alcoholism can potentially be chronic and can have relapses and recurrences, the appellant was determined not to be a suitable candidate for a pistol permit.
Thank you, Sergeant. Pam, do you have any cross-examination for the sergeant?
No, but can I read something here?
We will get to that.
Oh, okay. No.
As long as you don't have a question for him.
No, I don't have a question.
Does the board have any questions of the sergeant?
You mentioned that the investigating officer asked her for medical records.
Yes.
And she did not have any at the time. Has she since then provided any medical records to your department?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Other questions? Do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Okay. Ma'am, you may tell us what you'd like us to
do. During this investigation, I had an officer, Sparata, come to my house, and he did an interview with me, and he stated during the course of the interview that Mr. Barnett was forthcoming, cooperative, respectful at all times. Conclusion, Ms. Barnett appears to have successfully overcome her addiction to alcohol beverages, had no interactions of concerns with Middletown Police Department for more than 4 years. Based on the information contained in the background investigation and information provided by the applicant, Officer Nicholas Sprada have found no disqualifying information that would prohibit Tracy S. Barnett from obtaining a pistol permit. That was his findings.
Is there anything else you'd like us to know?
No.
Sergeant, do you have any questions of the appellant?
In your recovery from alcoholism, you stated to the investigating officer that you did not seek out any medical treatment. Is that still accurate as of today?
Yes.
Okay. And was there any reason that you did not seek out medical treatment of any sort for that?
Well, when I first developed MS and I stopped drinking, I stopped through prayer, I gave it to God and went down to Rushford, got a book, and decided you need to take care of this. You don't need this alcohol. I went there. I went and signed up with AOP, Intense Outpatient for Middlesex Health. Through my doctor, I told her I did stop drinking and I need to work on this. So this is something that I did, and she referred me to the Middlesex outpatient, went to their program, graduated that, and then I started going to AA meetings, and I've been sober ever since.
So you attended an outpatient program?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
IOP, I think it's called IOP.
Intensive outpatient, yeah. That seems to be a medical type program that would have been included, but okay. Do you have any documentation?
No, because I just received this yesterday. And if I'd known I needed all that information, I would have gotten.
That's fair. I know it's not my turn to speak. I would add that I did send a certified letter with the packet to the appellant. The certified mail receipt was postmarked December 29th. She contacted me yesterday stating she had not received that, and I was able to email her the documents, but that was yesterday, so she has not had a lengthy period of time, according to her statement. But I do have the certified receipt that I sent it. Sorry, I just felt the board should be aware of that.
Any other questions?
Can I ask the issuing authority a question?
You may question any witness at any time.
Okay. It's interesting, and this letter that the notation that you read was included in our packet. Did the chief overturn the investigating officer's decision or recommendation to issue?
I am not fully aware of who overturned the investigating officer's decision. Obviously, that was entirely accurate what the appellant read. That was what was listed in the investigating officer's report. From there, it is the report is signed off by a supervisor, and then it is turned over to the office of the chief. So the ultimate decision does end with the chief. So I would say yes, the chief would have been the person to overturn that. Although it's possible a recommendation could have come up the line from the supervisor who signed it off, or potentially the captain of investigative services at that time. But the ultimate decision would be the chief.
There's no internal documentation of that as a paper trail?
No, there is not.
Doc, just keep in mind the chief is the issuing authority, not the detective, not the sergeant, not the approving lieutenant.
I understand that.
So he's not overturning anything. It's an opinion. And the way I read that is there are no disqualifiers, which there are not. It's an issue of suitability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are no statutory disqualifiers there. I don't know if that's what he meant, but that is the way I read it.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, pardon me, Sergeant Martz.
Yes, sir.
Is Sergeant Sprato still part of Middletown PD?
Officer Sprato is still part of Middletown PD.
Oh, I'm sorry. Officer Sprato.
He was previously a sergeant, Southern Police Department, transferred to Middletown, and is now an officer.
Okay. And is his investigation to find out whether she's suitable? Or is his investigation to find out whether there are disqualifying items in her history, or is his bailiwick the entire project, finding out whether or not it's his opinion whether she's suitable and whether she has disqualifying factors?
So his investigation serves
what's the scope of his investigation?
Both functions. To determine if there are automatic disqualifiers, and also to determine if there are any suitability grounds.
Right.
And he theoretically would then make a recommendation at the conclusion of his investigation, which would then be reviewed up the chain of command, and ultimately a decision is made by the chief, who is the ultimate issuing authority.
Right. And in his packet, it's not just this incident report, detail report, it's the entire packet that goes up to the chief? With all the background and all the backup?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And for further clarification, Dr. Conrad, sorry, there was a glare on the nameplate. On the only documentation that we would have, so the Middletown Police Department permit application checklist, the second page of that shows this. So initially, it shows, looks like no obligation, that was initial, and that, or no objection, sorry, that was initialed and then checked off, and there's what appears to be a lieutenant's signature. So
all right, can we have a timeout just for a second? Can you show me what you're referring to?
Yes.
No, just get up. All right, great. I think that's
The second page is the Middletown Police checklist. So this is our own internal document, which was provided to the board and would have been, unfortunately, provided to the appellant yesterday, although it was mailed earlier.
Okay. So this is the internal paper trail.
This is the internal paper trail. So it says no objection. Mm-hmm. There's something written there which appears to be crossed out and initialed, and then it checks off objection, brief explanation. So this is what would have occurred prior to it getting to the chief.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said the four peers. Peers is a reference to the police emergency examination request form.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2016, alcohol, depression, suicidal ideation. That appears to be a signature of one of the lieutenants, most likely investigative services lieutenant at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then the
recommendation from the officer was that there was no disqualifiers. The lieutenant then had an objection based on suitability, and that was presented to the chief. The chief made the ultimate decision as the issuing authority.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much.
Clarify the answer to your question. Sorry.
Thank you. Certainly helps my question, too. Thank you very much.
And mine, too, from my understanding.
Are you done with questions of the appellant? I think we interrupted you.
Yeah, I think I got sidetracked. I apologize for that. Yes.
Right. Other questions by the board?
For the appellant? Are we at that where we are?
Yes.
The big hang-up I think we're all going to have is there's no medical records. Did you get a letter from the board asking for medical records if mental health was an issue?
Yeah, I think I read that.
Do you have any medical records to share with
no.
us? Because it specifically asks for the discharge paperwork for if you're sent to the hospital. And you have four times that you were sent to the hospital.
I've never received anything from the hospital.
No, you have to ask for it. They're not going to. Well, they may give you something when you walk out the door, but you can't
have
that.
I didn't know to do that.
The initial officer, when he interviewed you, asked about your medical records. Right? Is that true? Because that's what he testified to.
Oh, I didn't have any medical, no.
Yeah,
he
did
came
not.
To, no, I didn't.
Right, but at that point you knew it was an issue. And then the board sends a letter saying, if that is an issue, we need the medical records. And as we sit here today, I don't have any medical records. Do you have any with you?
No.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, ma'am, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Okay, you may make a brief closing statement if you'd like.
When I went to the hospital, it was for detox, and I stayed overnight there. I remember those days, but I said, like I said, I would never try to harm myself. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I've never been arrested, never been convicted, never had a parking ticket. And I don't wish to do harm to others or myself. I'm retired from the Middletown Board of Ed. I'm working for the city, the state now. And I just feel that I should be able to get a permit. Yeah, that's just about it.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
Sergeant, would you like to make a closing statement?
Based on the extensive history during the period of time, which by the appellant's own admission, she was an active alcoholic, although she states she is now a recovering alcoholic. And our inability to determine if the depression and suicidal ideations were solely related to alcohol or not, and the lack of medical records to show that, we feel that she would not be a suitable candidate at this time.
Thank you, Sergeant. Any comments by the board?
I just want to make one comment and maybe a correction. I reread the last paragraph in the officer's report, and it does kind of say, in that, at least in that officer's opinion, there was nothing disqualifying there. Probably misinterpreted that a little bit when I read it the first time, but that is what it says. Having said that, the lack of medical records is always concerning for the board and for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Other comments? I have to agree with the chief. One of the opening remarks is, where no additional evidence or other compelling circumstances are uncovered, the board will respect the judgment of the issuing authority. If you were ever to come back here, I don't know how the vote will go, we would definitely want to see medical records to see how the IOP program went,
mm-hmm.
and if there's any continuing treatment, which I don't think there is. I commend you for doing that.
Thank
I know
you.
It's not easy, as
Thank
well
you.
As the detox and
Alcoholics Anonymous. I think that's great. It's great to see. But our job is to look at the evidence, which we don't have enough of that at this mm-hmm. time. So that will, that's the reason I'm going in the way I do. I'm not speaking for anyone else. Okay.
No other comments? Chief Rosenzweig.
Issue authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issue authority this time.
Attorney Iaconis.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority at this time for the same reasons as my colleague mentioned. It would be good if you ever seek to reapply to have the records from the IOP, or if you resume Alcoholics Anonymous, a letter from a sponsor or someone in the groups that you attend that would support your clarification of your ongoing sobriety.
Okay.
So I'm going to vote for the issuing authority at this time.
And Acton Chair votes issuing authority at this time for the reasons stated. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.